This is the DMT One-to-One Show on the 21st of November 2013. An interview with the founder of Evergig, Arthur Degas.
Hello everyone, it's great to be here on the DMT One-to-One Show today with Arthur Degas, who's a co-founder and CEO from Evergig. So hi Arthur, and great to have you on. How's it going?
Hi, pretty fine, and you?
It's great, thanks. All going really well. So it's awesome to have you on the show. I've found out about the company a few months ago, so it's great to have you finally on. And so first up, let's talk about the basics. What is Evergig in a nutshell?
Well, the company is just, we're creating a full-length video with the footage from people with the HD sound. So that means that the record label send us the HD sound from a gig, and people that shoot with their phone or cameras at a gig, that just upload the content on our website or through our iPhone app. And then we have an interior boot, but it's mainly an artificial intelligence that creates the video. It analyzes the face, the crowd, if it's a full body, everything, what happens on the picture, and then we choose the best part of it and create a full video.
Essentially, the process is the audience takes a bunch of videos from the gig and then uploads those videos to your site, and then you match that to the audio that you record at the gig. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mainly, yes. We just did not record ourselves every show because we had, as you said, we're just a web service. Yeah. But record labels and artists by themselves can record their show. It's pretty simple. We just ask for the sound that come direct from the engineer desk, the board, and sometimes an ambient mic is good. And they just provide us with those sound, those files, and just even a plain MP3 is enough. And it goes through our system, and we create, as you said, an entire show with these MP3 and all the videos.
Yeah, sure. And so tell me more about how the company started out. Of course, when did you have the idea for Evergig, and how did it start moving in terms of creating the company?
Well, in fact, the idea started 4 years ago. I was at a concert with a friend, and I went there for her, and the artist wasn't my style of music. So I was watching a lot of the crowd, how they react, and it happened that at one moment all the lights turned off, and I saw everybody were shooting with their phone. And at that time, if you remember, there were no iPhone 5, neither Samsung. It was only Blackberries and iPhone 3G or stuff like this.
Yeah.
And I was asking myself, what about the quality? What it looks like? How does it sound? And where that people share those videos? Because why do they keep shooting if it's not for sharing? Yeah. And I discovered three things. The first is the quality wasn't so bad. And the second thing is the audio quality was really poor. And the third thing, yes, they are sharing. Not everyone, like 20% of them are sharing their footage. And the other parts were not sharing because of the quality of the sound.
Yeah.
Or quality of the video. And Zulu who share just spray all their video on Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah.
And but so you have, if you're a big fan of Arcade Fire, for example, you go and you type Arcade Fire gig or concert on YouTube, and you have hundreds of videos, but none are none have the great sound, none are a full song. It's just one view from one guy, and you have to watch 5 or 10 of them in order to create in your mind the video that you want.
Yeah.
And so we thought about that, and the second thought is there is already people who are shooting professional, who are shooting shows. So is that a good tool? Because people are shooting with their phone. It's really bad quality comparing to a red or a Canon 5D. But we discovered something, is that people just want to have a piece of souvenir, and they want to share it. They want to say, hey, I was there, this is my footage. And
yeah,
with all other fans, we contribute to do something. And and that was the really main subject of all. So we start to do some research about how can we do an artificial intelligence that could create the final editing.
Yeah.
And it took almost 2 years. And when we almost finished, we decided to start the company. And just before to start, we went to some major record label like Warner and Sony and Universal and asked them, would you use our system? I mean, it's not a pirate system. It's more like we all create something, like you provide us the sound and the fan provide us the footage and we just generate the content. And the industry, the music industry has changed a little bit and they are more open to see what we can do with new technology. So they said, yes, let's do it. And we tried with some major French artists and it worked pretty well. So we decided to create the company the 21st June, and in fact it was the music day in France.
Right.
So it was pretty funny. And just 1 year after we won €1 million from two investors.
That's
so
great.
We were pretty happy.
That's fantastic. And so yeah, the round of funding is led by Partech Entrepreneur and 360 Capital Partners. And so it's always we always hear people talk about how it's difficult to raise money for music startups these days. And so how did you find that process? And did you find support in France as well as a company in France that is starting out?
Yeah, in fact, it was not really. I won't say. It wasn't hard. It was really hard, and it took us between 6 and 9 months to raise money. Just almost making, just doing that all the time, which was pretty boring because at that time we were not focusing on new product or even new artists, on just raising money, yeah. money, and but we knew something that it's not. We're not only focusing on music. I mean, we are our Evergig and we are dedicated to music concert, but our technology is allowed to do way more than just music, like football game or weddings videos or whatever, because it's what all of our technology is creating a story directly from UGC videos.
Yeah.
So it truly really mean how that we have the ability to change how people exchange video. Right now, they exchange picture through Instagram, Facebook, whatever other system. It takes a fraction of a second to watch many picture, but it takes a lot of minutes every day to watch videos. And who has 30 minutes to spend on watching your nephew? A football game or last birthday friends you were last Saturday. So it's you don't have 35 minutes to watch that. And yeah, in fact, so how about technology allows to do more than music and big concerts? It allows to just tell a story. Like for example, if you were at Thursday and all your friends send videos and shoot videos with their phone, nobody has 30 minutes on his day to watch 5 videos of 6 minutes long each one. You just want to watch 3 minutes with the best of the best from your birthday. And that's what our technology can do. And we are hardly working on that. But so our technology, our investors are interested on this part, but also on the other parts, like for example, the fact that 21% of the music category on YouTube is only UGCs from shoot at concerts. So there is already a market, which is between 4 and 6% of the entire YouTube video. It's huge amount of video, and no one cares about it. All the record label majors, they just look it like it's dust.
Yeah.
And the artists, they don't care about it because it's not good quality for them, they qualify as good quality. The fan, they are really engaged by that. They are shooting, they are streaming. It's a link, it's an emotional link between them and the artist. It's also an emotional link between all of them. They all do something different. And so that's why we start with the music. We thought that we can create all together. When I mean all together, it's the record label and the fan. and also the artist for sure, yeah. a great tool that could easily be more like the new web, what all people to do. I mean,
yeah, and it's interesting as well because there's a lot of people talking about live streaming and the future of live music, whether people are going to start enjoying concerts more from their couch. And I like from your perspective, from what I can see, yours is more the idea of sharing the videos of an experience you're having, in a live context, to other people that you just want to make sure that they enjoy that as well, and sort of compile those experiences together instead of just offering a live stream of a video in somebody's house, right?
Well, naturally, it's both of them because for what it is, a concert is something which takes place in a special place.
Yeah.
With people, I mean, even if it's a huge stadium, it's two people comparing to the audience you have on the internet.
Yeah.
So there is always people who cannot be there because, well, they're not living near the place or they could not afford tickets or whatever. And or maybe they were at that concert and yeah, they are not, and they want a piece of souvenir. And that's what really we discover with Evergig. It's not that we're not competing with others. Professional producer, there is postcard and you have also your own photo picture from your vacation.
Yeah.
But you can only buy postcard. No, you take some postcard and you also take pictures directly with your cameras. It's exactly the same concert. You have the professional one and you also have the souvenir parts of the emotional link that you want to have. So you want to share it directly because it's what internet is. You want to share your emotion. You also want to show off a little bit, like I was there.
Yeah.
And the other fact is there is also some kind of generosity because some of our geeksters, they just shoot for the other fans who are not at that show. And that's really great.
Yeah, and let's talk about the user experience. So, when how do artists make fans aware that this is happening, and what have you found is the best way to get the word across that fans can go on your website and sign up and upload their videos? Because that's the most important part, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, the user experience is how people get involved and know everything. It's pretty simple. As we are legal and working artists and a record label, we ask them to communicate about the operation.
Right.
The mission they have is really simple. They just shoot themselves with their phone, their iPhone or Samsung or whatever, and then they just have to directly post it on their Facebook or Twitter account. And usually the video say, "Hey, next gig I will be. It will be our Evergig show, so bring your camera your phone. You will be allowed to shoot, and don't forget to upload everything on evergig.com."
Yeah.
And then usually they push new information about that just after the show on their Twitter, Facebook, and even on radio sometime or on TV. And yeah, then we receive a lot of videos, and with those videos we just create the full concerts. Or part of the concert is really depends, and sometimes it's really fast. It's 12 hours, and sometimes it's a bit longer, and it takes 4 or 5 days. It really depends of the people who are engaged with that artist,
right,
and how fans want to participate and create something all together.
Yeah, sure. And so finally, I wanted to ask about monetization. So of course, you see yourself as I can understand more of as a enabler for the content industry to create higher quality videos and engage fans as well in that way. But how do you feel about the way, there's a lot of debates that I'm hearing and I've been part of talking about monetization of music videos online. Do you feel that there are potential new avenues that can open up on that front, aside from the established YouTube phenomenon in terms of advertising and monetization?
Yeah, well, to our point of view, YouTube is not a competitor anymore. Yeah. To anyone. It's just, it's like hair you know, it's like just broadcasting content.
Yeah.
You have to be on YouTube, whatever you decide. It's not, you cannot fight against YouTube. You have your own brand on your own website. And you also have your YouTube channel.
Yeah. It's like saying I don't want to be on Google. It's the same.
Yeah. It's like I don't want to have Hair Stream TV. Like,
yeah.
How do you get users if you're not on Hair Stream TV? It's really strange. So it's the same right now. YouTube is not a competitor anymore. They're not producing anything. I mean, they have their music show every year, but it's just kind of celebration.
Yeah.
And so there is YouTube on one side, and we have our channel. We also have a channel on Dailymotion, and we will have a lot of new content next week on those two channels. But our main website is not about
monetizing.
Yeah, monetize. Our goal is just, you know, firstly having users and an artist who want to participate. Then I'm pretty sure there is a bunch of place for other stuff except YouTube and Vevo. And Vevo is a good example because, you know, in the music industry before, there were this kind of payola system, you know, Clear Channel has all radio and Record Label has to pay a lot of promotion to promote their song to Clear Channel radio station. And then internet enter and it just makes everything upside down. And they just realized that, I mean, when I say that, I mean the music industry realized that they could change that. Maybe they have a chance to not be kind of slave for the radio or the big conglomerate, and they can create their own. And that's mainly what they decide to do with Vevo. They just decide to have their own tools so they can push their own content in front of everything. And that's pretty great for them. But we also here to have another voice, something different, because it's free for the artist, it's free for the record label, it's also free for everyone. So what I mean is, if you want to go to Vevo, you definitely have to have your own video clip and being a major artist or sign on a big, you know, a really big record level. You know, if you go to every gig, you can just call your friends and call your fans to shoot your show and send us the HD sound, and then we create your show. So if you're a small artist or a big one like Rihanna, you can be on every gig. It's not owned by a huge conglomerate of record labels or advertisers. So there is place for that, because this is what internet is.
Yeah.
It's somewhere between big one and small one. And as our service is free, how we monetize it? We had publicity, video advertising before and during the content, exactly when you watch your TV.
Yeah.
And we also, maybe by the end of let's say around September 14th, add VOD service. But we're working on it because it's pretty complicated regarding the record levels, but they really definitely want to do that because of the success of Deezer or Spotify or radio.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's a really good idea. We have a lot of demon of hardcore fans that ask us, where can I download it? And at start, we saw that they want to steal our content, but absolutely not. They were willing to pay something to have the DVD or the files on their computer offline because they want to listen it on the subway or on the train or whatever. And so that's pretty a good thing
that's
for us. And the other, so one is advertising and content, second is a future VOD is VOD service, and the third is that a lot of brands are asking to do something with us, like because our player is available and proprietary, so we can customize it and push, you know, a special button like this gig is offered by any name you want, and so on. It's great. It's really great for brands because the content is directly made by people, so it's instantly viral.
Yeah,
kind of way.
Sure. And finally, so let's talk about the direction of the company. Of course, you've had just announced the round of €1 million last month. And so what are your plans for the next year? Are you going to focus on product? Are you going to focus on international expansion? What's your the key point of your roadmap?
Yeah, oh, years is it's a long
time. It's a long time, yeah.
It's month to month.
Yeah.
Right now, we were focused since this summer to release a new website, because the actual website was just technology proof in order to raise money. There were almost no social interaction, and it was kind of painful to upload. And that's why we love our Geeksters. They just keep going and keep uploading content, even if sometimes there were bugs. The new one will be just great, and we release it this week.
Awesome.
And so that's pretty good news for us. New website. It's more we push the content we want in front of the others. We also push title instead of the entire show, because you're hardcore fan and you want to share it. So mainly you share with other hardcore fan, but at one point you want just to share it with some fans, and then fans just want to share it with the regular audience. And the regular audience, they want to have the full show. They just want to go directly to the right song that they heard on radio, or the one who is in their iPhone.
Yeah.
So we were working on that for the past month.
That's great.
And now we're working more with brands, and also to have better content.
Yeah.
For sure, some still in France, but we have more and more demand from the US, because we spend a little bit more time there, and also because the main major artists are from the US right now, so that's why we spend a lot of time there. So it's not really going internationally, but the new website will be in English and French, and we hope in Spanish in a few weeks or month, and maybe in Korean or Japanese too. So we try to go around and see if, you know, some just artists might participate without being physically there.
Of course, that's fantastic. The website is evergig.com, so I would suggest the listeners to go and check it out. It's a great idea. Thank you so much, Arthur, for joining me today.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for listening to the DMT One-to-One show. You can find that on digitalmusictrends.com, or you can also find our weekly news show. You can follow us on @DigiMusicTrends or email on contact@digitalmusictrends.com. Have a great week, and until next time. Thanks for listening to the DMT One-to-One show, and remember to check out digitalmusictrends.com for our weekly news show.